Meow, meow.
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting live and worldwide from Podbay 2A, an intergalactic sea level, available sea level intergalactic radio studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenate of radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin-bloody statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, James Babb and Michael Dean?
Yes.
I can feel it.
Around
it's in my head.
Crane, 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 here in Ben, ah, that's in the flowery hole in a can in a hina bin, and the Van Crane.
Dan Green, I swear you're exaggerating your Scottish accent.
Surely not.
I think you are. I like it when you say worm your brain. Worm your brain. It sounds like you say worm. Worm your brain.
Worms your brain.
So, I'm Michael Dean. We got James Babb broadcasting from the back of the trunk of a car that doesn't run, and we got Dan Green. So Dan, you're in Scotland, right?
Yes, last time I checked.
And James, you're in where? Fiendville, Maine?
I have moved on to the Forks, Maine.
Okay.
The Forks.
I don't know what that is, but so you do, the car doesn't run, but the alternator runs, so you like put gas in it and you, what do? You turn the engine over to charge the battery?
Yeah, you know, it's just enough gas to power Fiend Phone.
Dude, don't kill yourself.
Yeah.
That's how people die, running the engine in the car when they're not in it, late at night, when they're drinking.
But you know what?
Are you taking
I would die doing what I loved, right? I would die doing what I loved.
Freezing in a car.
Can we really ask for any more than that?
Yep. And, you know, that's true. And the Fiends are a distributed radio show. So, you're, you know, you can't really fill James's seat. It's impossible. But we'd sure try immediately. Because
if you kill yourself on air, Sangeeta will immediately take your job. If you kill yourself on air, Sangeeta will immediately take your job.
For $1
a day. It's inevitable anyway.
For $1 a day, man.
Yeah.
She'll do it. And Dan has fear of robots, right, Dan?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, you can get $1 a day to do this show? Wait, whoa.
Hey, nobody told me that.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you know what this is?
No, it sounds like you're going to give a toast.
No.
You're playing spoons.
No, I'm knocking silver together. Can't believe you people don't, you libertarians don't know the sound of silver on silver. That is a, now, we do have a friend, fan, fiend, small f fiend, named the Silver Scrutinizer, who could probably tell me what coins these are, but he's not here right now. But it's, I don't know, one has a turtle on it. It's a $2 Fiji coin. And the other is a, it's a Bernard von Nothaus get out of jail free coin, I think.
Nice.
Nah, that should be, but it is a silver. It's one of his coins. It's given to me by Tim Fry.
Bernard actually gave me a specially minted Porkfest silver coin, which he would not call a coin because that's some kind of legal term.
I know.
But I call it a coin because it's a coin.
Yeah.
But anyway. That's a nice treasure.
Speaking of nothing to do with him, I don't know. I wanted to discuss this idea, but I'm afraid we'll get our doors kicked in if I do. But James is in a car. It'd be hard to kick his door in,
yeah.
I guess. He can just drive away.
What are they going to do?
Yeah. So, Libertarian ISIS. I want to talk about it. It's actually more like the Libertarian IRA, I think, is what I'm thinking of. But
you're trying to make it relevant for me.
No, I'm. I don't know. ISIS scare me more than the IRA somehow. I'm part Irish, so I don't know. Yeah, no, there's. I don't want anyone to do anything horrific. But here's the thought: like, how soon do you think? Here's a thought experiment. How soon would the drug war end if there were roving bands of people willing to die for their beliefs who basically like, okay, so let's say everybody's got, you know, everybody's got cameras in their car. Everybody's got, you know, the Peacekeeper app. Let's call it the Warmonger app in this case. The War on Drugs Monger app. You have this app where, like, you know, when you're getting pulled over and arrested for the nanny law where there's no victim, it's being broadcast to your friends. Your friends have this network. What would happen? Man, the little angel on my shoulder and the devil are fighting right now. They're saying, like, just shut up. Don't talk about this on radio. This is just a thought experiment.
You got to. You have okay, to.
At this point.
That means it's interesting.
Okay, so, it's interesting. Good. So, you know how there's people that have, like, competing security things? Like, you know, in Detroit, you've got those people that protect your neighborhood. You know those people we're talking about?
Right.
Okay. And, you know, you've got other people that will come and, like, film whatever's going on. So what would happen if you had people who acted like the state or were willing to act like the state regardless of the consequences? So let's say as soon as someone's pulled over for some nanny violation, taillight out, they find some pot, the person doesn't have a medical certificate, they get hauled off to jail. What would happen if, like, while they're being hauled off to jail, all of a sudden, like, the cop who's hauling them off to jail, all of a sudden this libertarian SWAT team goes to his home and kicks in his door and takes his wife and kids somewhere else?
That doesn't sound very libertarian to me.
It doesn't.
I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying, like, you know, like if
why do we have to get his wife and kid involved? That seems a little.
I don't know. Because that's what the IRA would probably do, wouldn't they? I don't know. I don't want to say that's what ISIS would do. But it's not like it's not like people should look at things and say, what would ISIS do to make their decisions? I'm saying
well,
more like.
Well, how about if instead of surrounding some guy's house and
they surround
threatening
the police station.
Innocent people, or just surround the police car before he even gets back to the station.
There you go. Like, what would happen if 100 people just surrounded the police car with their cars and said, let the guy go?
Yeah, you let him go, you disable the car, the police car, you take his weapons and his radio, and you leave him on the side of the road to hitchhike home. I don't have a problem with that.
And you give him some pamphlets for, like, training in honorable jobs.
Right. Yeah. Like dishwashing. You know, he could work his way up to any of these noble fields.
To being the dispatcher for the libertarian ISIS.
Yeah, by the way, since you might want to be considering a new job, we're hiring.
We're hiring. We pay in Bitcoin and weed. Yeah. We'll sell you your gun back to you that we just took from you. You know, one of the funniest things I ever saw was at a Grateful Dead show in Berkeley at that outdoor amphitheater. I forget what it's called, but it's up near the college, the beautiful outdoor amphitheater there. I didn't go into this Dead show. I was in the parking lot, but I saw these cops arresting these hippies, dragging them off for pot. And there was this really tall black Jamaican Rasta dude, like, screaming at the cops. Like, he didn't know these hippies. He was just screaming at them, like, all the way across the parking lot, all the way to the cop car. And I don't really want to try to do the accent, but he was basically telling the cops, why don't you get honest work? And then he said, he like held out a business card. I could see him from across, you know, 50 feet away, holding out a business card. He said, you come down, man. You come down Monday to my office. I give you a job selling incense, man. Honest work.
Right awesome. On.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
These selling incense.
What, Dan?
I think that's good.
Yeah, selling incense. So, Dan, let's talk about what would happen in your country. If every time someone got busted for a nanny law, 100 people surrounded. First of all, in your country, the cops are not armed for the most part, right?
No, not routinely, although there has been a sort of, there's been a big sort of increase over the last few years in Scotland anyway, with like armed cops being sent to routine calls. So that's starting to happen. Yay. Because we used to actually have regional police forces in Scotland, but then they made it into one big thing called Police Scotland. And then they stop people from being accountable to actually elected people, and, you know, only to like an appointed board, this kind of nonsense. But I don't know. I'd love to see people actually do that here, but I doubt it would actually happen, to be honest. I just couldn't see it happening.
So, James, talk more about this idea of what if. Not saying it should happen, just what if.
Well, I think you're on the right track. You know, why shouldn't we explore these ideas? I mean, are we supposed to just sit around and just be preyed upon forever? I don't think so, right? The problem is the tactics,
what are the
right?
Laws? It has if to you be outsource the radio sound. Dispatching libertarian ISIS to India.
Oh, sorry, go ahead. Shut up, lady.
You know, speaking of cops trying to get honest work, did you hear the story about the Miami police woman who was moonlighting as a porn star, and now her career as a cop is jeopardized because of her honest work?
Oh, are you talking about the lady that's suing the guy in Virginia?
No, her name is Sabine Raymondville. And at least according to reports, she starred in a number of movies. And part of the trouble is one of her co-stars is in jail for rape at the moment. So she's had some questionable work associates with that other job. But seem to have a problem.
I don't think she was very employable to begin with, because when I Google Sabine Raymondville, it goes to like Google Maps to try to give me the distance between Ravenwood, Missouri and Sabine, West Virginia.
Just Google Miami cop porn and you'll see the whole bunch of articles.
You know, it's the most ridiculous cop suing for not being able to do his job, his quote unquote job anymore, lawsuit ever was the cop that shoots him, the DEA agent that shoots himself in the foot in the classroom full of kids. You've seen that one, right?
Oh, what a classic.
That's a classic.
What a classic.
Yeah, for those who haven't seen it, I mean, I know we're doing visual humor on the radio, but this is actually like your tax dollars at work. It was like DEA agent in a classroom full of kids, like, oh, meet the agents that protect you every day. And this guy pulls out a Glock, and he's acting all street. He's like, this here's a Glock 40. You may have heard about that in such hip-hop songs as Master P and he's naming rappers. And then he's like, and I'm the only person in this room professional enough. And this isn't racist. This is what he sounds like. He says, I'm the only person in this room professional enough to hold this Glock 40. And then he shoots himself in the foot with it. And then he doesn't leave. And then he pulls out a rifle. And the kids are all screaming. And he's a kid filmed it and put it on the internet. It got a million views. This cop sued the DEA and like YouTube because he can't do a job.
Oh, poor guy.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. We're not sure what happened to Michael. There was some sound of scuffling. We don't know what happened, but maybe he'll be back later. But
we hope.
For now, Dan, it's you and me.
It is. So what do you want to talk about?
We were having a good time talking about some of these embarrassing police that they get their feelings hurt because their videos are on YouTube and their feelings are so hurt and everybody's making fun of them that they end up getting settlements, which I think is kind of funny. Somehow they feel they are entitled to be paid. Dan, do you remember the meme of the pepper spraying cop from California at a protest? He was like, totally went viral. People just took his image and put it all over everything.
Yeah, I do remember that. I remember seeing it. It was everywhere.
His name was John Pike, and he will forever be immortalized as the pepper spray meme cop. He actually got a settlement of $38,000. Okay, they paid him $38,000 for his hardship, which of course is more money than any of the people he pepper sprayed received. So, is that some? How's that for cop logic?
I know it's. Well, is this going to be a thing now? Like, because you know you have laws against like defamation and things like that in newspapers. Is this like the next step? You go into court and say I had these defamatory memes made about me, and then you sue the person who made them. Like, is that what it's going to end up? It's good.
I think that's where we're at. In fact, just yesterday I was talking with MK about our friend Nathan Cox from Virginia Coplock, who is being sued for $1.35 million for basically releasing videos of a cop acting like an idiot. But she got her feelings hurt because everybody found out she's an idiot.
Well, surely then that's a pre-existing condition, you know, that was her fault. She was already an idiot before this video happened. She should have realized that. Is it that she's just realized she's an idiot, or she's worried that now everyone's found out? It's now public knowledge.
I think that's what she's kind of sad about, and you know, she goes places and she's just humiliated, and she just feels like her life is ruined and somebody needs to pay. Somebody must pay for her humiliation.
Yeah, she needs to get paid. But, like, then that's the thing, because, like, you know, it's stuff like this, and I know it's kind of been bigger in America, this whole sort of suing people culture, but it's become a bigger deal here now as well. Like, I know someone that they sued a local school because their son fell in the playground, and because he couldn't play football anymore, well, not anymore, but, like, for so many months because he'd broke his leg or whatever, he was supposed to be having emotional distress. He was, like, 7 or something, and his, like, mum sued the school for like her son's emotional distress. Well, you know, sure. When I was younger, that was just called being a child and falling over.
Well, and you know what? Think about it. He may not play in the World Cup as a result, right? What are the damages to not being able to play in the World Cup after a lifelong dream? All 7 years, he dreamt of that.
That's the thing. I don't like it at all. That whole kind of I'm just going to sue you culture. It's like, you know, those people that sued McDonald's because they said it made them fat, which was really ludicrous as well. You know, it's not like the guys from McDonald's showed up and held them down and shoved hamburgers down their throats. You know what I mean? It seems to me it's like you take away a lack of personal responsibility, you know, and just blame someone else. Like the boy falling over, he fell over, that was his fault, you know what I mean? But then they try and make it like, oh, it's the school's fault for that rubbish concrete, you know, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, you know, it's nice to have somebody to blame for whatever goes wrong in your life, right?
Yeah.
I think that's, I mean, government can't really do much for us, but, you know, maybe it can help us blame other people for our problems. Like, it's sort of like, well, maybe they can do that. Like, I don't know.
I know what you mean, but I don't, like, why do people always kind of jump to the blame game as well? I mean, you see it. Everything, like, even you could take some big things like, you know, like 9/11 or something, you know, and then that starts a war with a country that had nothing to do with it, you know. But it's just like, let's play the blame game, because everyone just seems to want to blame someone before calming down and thinking about things. But, like, you see that everywhere. I mean, I've talked before as well about, I call it kind of state infantilization, you know, that people that, like, become sort of adult children because, you know, they get welfare and taken care of, and just turns people into kids. It's like denial of your own responsibility.
So they can remain children forever.
Actually sounds nice.
Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Freedom Fiends. I'm here with Dan Green in Scotland. I'm Jim Babb in The Forks, Maine. Dan, this is a great opportunity for us. This is our first show hosting together, isn't it?
We lose him.
Where is Dan? Are you there?
I'll fill in.
Yes. Yes, Jim. It's great honor to be here, Jim. Yes.
Now, give me a good Scottish accent for this.
I can't. I can't go any faster, Jim. I can't go any faster.
How's that? It works because it's got the name Jim in it, but, you know, it's a different... James Tiberius.
Fiend phone.
What happened, Dan?
I'm alive.
Okay.
The internet. All right. The internet happened.
I was pretending to be you, but you're here, so go ahead and ask me questions.
Was it racist?
Yes, it was very racist. Go ahead and ask me questions.
Welcome back. Dan, I was just commenting on how cool it is. This is our first show hosting Fiends together. So finally, the random algorithm that matches Michael Dean's weird friends has put us together. So I'm happy about that.
Me too. I like the idea that he's got a random algorithm that just puts us together at certain times. I like to think he's masterminding things like that behind the scenes.
It turns out that half of all libertarians are Fiends co-hosts now. So that's great.
Either there's not a lot of libertarians or there's more that we don't know about secret co-hosts. Maybe he takes them to a camp somewhere, maybe like 6 months before they're going to be on the show, and he just hauls them into a camp, but they kid on that they're around, but they're not really, and that's where they get
educated. It's a libertarian ISIS training camp. That's,
come on, man, you guys are going to get me droned. Stop it.
It's a secure and undisclosed location, don't worry.
There you go.
How racist was your impression of me?
Actually, I just did Scotty from Star Trek.
Close enough.
Is he not Canadian?
Yeah, something like that.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace, James Doohan, right?
I don't know, I'm not into Star Wars.
So I want to know what's going on in Scotland. You know, our news channels are just flooded with these awful... people running for president or just doing stupid stuff or protesting or getting their feelings hurt. I want to know what's going on in Scotland.
Well, all I can see in the news is we get a lot about the American election as well for some reason. Although Davy Barker said to me one time he thinks that everyone should be allowed to vote in the US presidential election because it ends up affecting the rest of us in some way. But apart from that, the newspapers here, they just won't shut up about Greece. You know, it's Greece this, Greece that, Greece the next thing. Because there's, you know, the UK is in a sort of position where it's widely exposed to Greece, and it's just all over the papers, and it's getting boring, man, you know.
Well, now what's the perspective from Scotland on Greece, though? Because I mean, you guys aren't on the Euro, so are you just like kind of sitting back watching with popcorn?
Well, the problem is there's a lot of exposure from like UK business to Greece, so some people are kind of concerned about that. But on a more kind of social level, I mean, Greece were getting away with murder in Greece for a long time, not literally, but like, you know, they could retire really young and stuff, and they'd all these really generous state benefits. And people here were saying things. I remember years ago people saying like, "Oh, that's great, the things they have there," and you know, like comparing us to Greece and how we don't get this and we have to retire later. And now that's all collapsing in on itself, I don't hear the people, I hear the people going, "Oh, it's terrible what they're doing, not letting them draw out their money." But I don't hear them saying, "Oh, that all that thing about retiring early and all those benefits that you thought were so great, it turns out they lead to this." Nobody seems to recognize that. Or if they do, they don't want to admit it. Because like, yeah, kind of being left wing is a sort of default position in Scotland. Most people are socialists, but they don't know what the word means. True.
It is funny that there's, you know, as this socialist regime is collapsing, people are, socialism is still very popular. So there's kind of a disconnect there.
I know what you mean. Like, I know what you mean. It is kind of, I don't understand, like, especially well, we've kind of traced out maybe some reasons why people are the way they are in Scotland. But I had a friend, for example, and he voted for the Conservative Party at the last election, right? And to call them a Conservative Party is, you know, Conservative's a very strong word in this context, put it that way, because, you know, they support a national health service and all this kind of nonsense. And I had a friend who voted for them, and all his sisters and his mum wouldn't talk to him because he didn't vote for the ultra-left, well, not ultra-left, but rather left Scottish National Party, who were going to give them more benefits and more welfare and all this kind of thing. So it's funny, man, because, like, it's just a sort of, like I said, most people you say, oh, you're a socialist, and they go, no, I don't really know what that is. But you go, you're for, you know, free prescriptions, which we get here, you know, free healthcare. Well, I say free, but, you know, free to them. And then they're all like, yeah, I'm totally in favour of all that. And then you go, well, you can't
get
a lot of a socialist.
Who doesn't love free stuff, right? Free stuff's cool. We've got there's a presidential candidate. I don't know if he's getting a lot of coverage in Scotland, but his name's Vermin Supreme. Have you ever heard of this candidate?
No, I haven't. No.
He is promising a pony for everybody. And he also wants to do a lot of, he's going to spend a lot of money on time travel research if he's elected. And he wears a boot on his head. And I just find him to be very refreshing because he's honest as a candidate. He's a great campaigner, and to me, I feel like he's brought a level of dignity to the process that it's been missing. So, hey, Vermin Supreme, he's given Bernie Sanders a run for his money over here. Bernie's just like, hey, I got free college. Who wants free? I got free college, and Vermin's like, hey, college is cool, but I got ponies. Let's go.
It makes me think of, like, we have the monster raving loony party in this country, and they do stand candidates at elections and stuff, but they're a total joke party. It's really interesting. It's actually some of it's kind of interesting satire, and some of it's just outright slapstick comedy. The guy that actually started the party, we did a podcast about this ages ago, and it was a guy called Screaming Lord Such, and he was actually a rock star, and then he holds a record for losing every election he stood in.
Nice.
But oh, they're great. They've got all these ridiculous sort of policies, like, you know, we'll make the days 27 hours long and things like this, you know. They're more interesting than any of the other candidates by far.
Well, of course, right? And it really, you know, I think it puts the whole process into perspective for people. Really helps bring it back to what it is. Because let's face it, the system is a joke. It just sometimes lacks a punchline, or it's just not funny. So, you know, let's bring these guys in. We got another really funny guy running in the U.S. Have you seen this guy, Donald Trump?
He's been causing a lot of trouble over here.
He's in trouble over there?
Oh, yeah, he has been for ages.
Let me guess, he spent somebody else's money on a project that went bankrupt.
Well, what happened was, like, he made this big golf course and resort somewhere up north, and there was like big legal battles because he was trying to get rid of people that had lived on land like beside it and stuff. Oh. And, you know, he wanted to get rid of them, and, like, he was on the news a lot here because there was a big controversy. You know, these people were campaigning, and I don't actually know what happened with that. I fell away from listening to the news, but yeah, he was in the news quite a bit here because of that, and he's been moaning as well. Like, he doesn't live here, but he's been, I mean, regardless of what you think of him, I don't think he's got a place to make comments like this. He would say, like, oh, I've got this lovely resort up there, but these, you know, these wind turbines are ruining it for me, so I want you to get rid of them. And you're like, mate, you don't live here, you know, just because you want somewhere to look nice, you know, so many weeks or months out of the year when you bother to show up.
Well, you know, it may explain something, because I never knew why he painted his hair orange. Okay, but was that to sort of win favor with the Scots? Is that respected there?
Not really. Not as
like a bright
as you might think.
It's like everybody doesn't have bright orange hair there. I'm just not. I've never been, so I don't know.
Not everyone, although I'm kind of in a stereotypical position because, you know, pretty much most of my family do. But that aside, I managed to skip the gene, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Although it comes out in my facial hair, which is kind of weird, but we won't go into that. It's too weird a story.
So Donald Trump's in trouble there. You know, you guys, if you wanted to participate in the U.S. election, I suggest the Vote for Nobody campaign, because in fact, anybody anywhere can vote for nobody. So perhaps this is a way to get you guys involved.
Well, yeah. I mean, we stopped voting as well. Like, and I used to do it, and I used to really, really be into it. I used to think it was a really big deal, and I would actually get annoyed at people that didn't vote. You know, I was one of those guys. Then I just totally went the other way. I think the last thing
eventually
I
you kind of have to figure out, like, gosh, what could I do instead? You know,
I could have a much nicer day without having to go in and bother with all that nonsense. Like, yeah. I think the last thing I voted in was the Scottish independence referendum. That was different for me. I decided I felt differently about that than everything else.
Which referendum was that? The independence referendum?
Yeah, the independence one. Aye. That was,
man, they blew that thing, didn't they? Or maybe who knows how the people actually voted? We'll never know, right?
All the conspiracy theories came out really quickly afterwards. Like, as soon as it was that vote came through, there was loads of YouTube videos saying, look at how that guy's holding the ballot papers. He's clearly fiddling with them. And it was just, I honestly don't think they did themselves any favors, to be honest, like, by starting all the conspiracy stuff, because I actually spoke to really big staunch yes people before it happened. And they said, look, it will never be allowed to happen. You know, and this was the kind of feeling among a lot of people, which was, but they never really said what they meant by that, you know, if they were talking about outright vote fixing, or if they meant when the vote does go through, they'll just not recognise it. They'll say, oh, we'll talk about, you know, making you a separate country, but, you know, these talks need 2 years to prepare, and then another four years of talking.
I guess, I think to look for an answer to that question, you'd have to say, how did that referendum affect the bankers, right? Now, I'm guessing that the bankers were going to win either way that it went, right?
Probably.
So, you know, they can let you have these little elections as long as they win.
Well, that's what they did in Ireland with the Lisbon Treaty.
But we will get back to that after the break.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Freedom Fiends, I'm Dan Green. I'm here talking to James Babb, and Michael Dean's around. Him and Sangeeta are 3D holograms.
Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
See, I told you he was around. I said that.
He has to say that every segment, or we lose our talk radio audience.
I think it's law, isn't it? Maybe. Maybe not. Yeah. I don't know.
It's a legal requirement. So we were talking, like, before the break. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I thought I was starting to go again. I don't know what's going on with the socialist internet here today. It's, for some reason, it's kind of a bit funny. But no, we were talking before the break, and we were talking a bit about Scotland and that kind of thing, and all this the crazy Scottish socialist I'm surrounded with. But I was thinking, you know, we were talking earlier about that whole idea of, like, why don't we get people to do things like sort of blockade police cars and stuff like that. I think what's funny is you saw something really cool like that in this country, like, away in, like, the sort of the early 90s, when, you know, there was the poll tax thing and people didn't like it, and people just en masse decided to stop paying it. They were like, well, let's just not do this. And then eventually that led to the fall of Margaret Thatcher, which was a big deal. But then there's a downside. The downside is all the kind of Scottish socialist kind of, a lot of big names, people like, you know, this won't mean anything to a US audience, people like your Tommy Sheridan, they kind of got a start at these rallies, you know, speaking at these rallies and stuff, and, you know, going to jail famously for not paying tax. And then that got a lot of people, funnily enough, into socialism from a tax protest. It was just,
what?
What?
Weird, isn't it? Like, I'm not saying it directly led to a lot of socialists, but a lot of socialist people that you would now recognise in Scotland did get a, you know, they gained a lot of recognition about that time.
Well, you know, there are people like that I know. They're like, well, I don't like paying those taxes. They still love the idea of forcing people to pay, but they want to force people to pay for their stuff, not somebody else's stuff, right? So as long as you're, you know, the question of forcing people to pay or not rarely comes up. Is that, do you find that?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, that does kind of come up. I think as well, you know, like I know this stuff isn't free because I know that I pay taxes. Every time I look at my wage slip, I see where my taxes have been taken out. But for a lot of, the thing is, like a lot of people who are completely on welfare here, so they pay no tax and everything they get is in government benefit, basically. So for them, it really is free, you know. So that's why you do get a lot of these people now are voting, you know, en masse for parties like the Scottish National Party that will promise them free stuff. But then, you know, where does this end? Surely there becomes a tipping point at one stage where, you know, there's so much free stuff that people are like, you know, let's just get the free stuff and not bother working. And then at one point, then there's nobody working or not enough people working to pay for the people who aren't. Do you know what I mean? Surely it's going to tip at some point.
It happens all the time. I believe Puerto Rico is going through that right now as well. There's so many people on benefits in Puerto Rico that as a culture, they've sort of lost the natural instinct to generate profit. And they're like, but wait a minute, what happens when the money runs out? It's a very sad position to see people that have grown so dependent suddenly have to be self-reliant. It's probably pretty scary to people.
I think it is. I think that's a big thing, you know, like, you know, this fear, you know. And also, like, if you think that you've got a government with a welfare system, then it makes you, it's almost like how I often liken it to like a benevolent father figure or something like that, you know. It's like someone who's, if some people see it like that, someone is going to take care of you. I'm not saying I see it like that, but that's, yeah, you know, that's kind of how it seems. Do you know what I mean?
You know, I do, but at the same time, I mean, I remember when I was a teenager and when I was finally old enough to move out on my own, I couldn't wait, right? I couldn't wait to be there. I didn't care if it was going to be a terrible apartment or driving some lame car.
Mine had fleas.
The idea of being on my own was worth it.
I couldn't get rid of them. I was 17. It was paradise.
You got fleas?
I had fleas in my first apartment, like knee deep fleas I could not get rid of.
Yours.
It's mine.
Those were your fleas. Yeah.
$75 a month. Yeah. Jamestown, New York.
Nice.
Yeah. What year are you born, James?
1967.
I was born in 64, son.
If I tell you when I was born, will it make you feel old?
Yeah, go ahead. 2020.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Sorry, Queen. The Queen of England cannot use the Fiends. It's protected by BIPCOT. All right, welcome back, Dan.
You know, and if there's any, like, government agencies that heard the first minutes of the first hour of this show and were like, we need to do something about that Michael Dean, like...
They can't.
They certainly cannot legally make a recording of it to share around the office.
Right. That would be a violation of the license.
And if they do, the license says that we can shun them by name. The individuals, as well as the agency that does it, by name in perpetuity. And I think that would probably include finding out their home address and giving it out. Man, never mind. Okay, you guys have a good show. I'm gone.
You know, we don't have to wait to start shunning them and making fun of the agencies that have secretly grabbed a hold and recorded some fiends, do we, Dan?
No, I don't think so.
Speak up, Dan, like you're on radio, son.
I'll pretend just for you. I know what you mean. Yeah, we should just shun them now. Why not?
Yeah, because we know they've already seized our data. And since this is being broadcast across the internet on the way to transmitters, it's ending up in their servers. Did you see that, Dan? Did you see the recent article from The Intercept that was basically sort of pointing out that there's... You know, we had all that phone metadata NSA scandal. I don't know if you guys probably could even follow that in Europe, but the NSA was grabbing everybody's phone metadata and everybody made a big deal about it. And they're like, the court said, oh, we better look at this. Oh, no, that's not good. It's a good thing you brought it to our attention. We're going to say that's wrong. So don't worry. But then this Intercept article brings up this program called X Key Score. And this is a secret program that converts all the data it can see into searchable events like web pages loaded, files downloaded, forms submitted, emails, attachments, porn videos watched, TV shows streamed, advertisements loaded. Anyway, it goes on and on and on and on and on. So this is what they're currently seizing right now out of these like internet backbones. They're just grabbing everything, but they're saying, hey, that's okay. Your privacy is still intact because we haven't queried the data yet. It's like, we just took all your stuff, but we haven't looked at it yet. So we're not a thief yet. So, I don't know.
But the thing is, as well, it's so scary because you can totally get the wrong idea. I mean, I remember I was watching a thing on television that was a report about this guy, and the police had actually visited his house because for some reason they got a hold of a lot of his Google searches, and it was things like, you know, like corpse and, you know, bloodied body and, you know, different types of like sort of murder scenarios. And
right.
They actually showed up at this guy and they hauled him in for questioning. It turned out later he was a writer for a TV show called Cold Case, and he was only Googling this stuff so he could get an idea for how to write the episodes.
He's like Googling, how do you dispose of a body quickly? Getting bloodstains out, you know.
But it shows how someone can get the total wrong end of the stick and then you can end up, you know, in serious trouble for doing nothing wrong.
Oh. You know what? There's some good prank material in there, right? Like you're at a friend's house. Like, hey, let me just borrow your web browser real quick. Here. What acid do you use to dissolve a body? You know? Why not? But, I'm thinking that because they're seizing this data, they are in violation of the BIPCOT no government license. Since this show is going out over the internet, it is being seized by them, and they are using it to fill their buffers. I don't know. So I think we are. It is within our rights of the license to shun them.
Yeah, I would agree.
NSA, I shun thee.
Oh, wait, let me get mine in. GCHQ, I shun thee. Got to make it relevant for here as well.
Okay, good.
But But don't you ever think it's like when you kind of when you this right in my conspiracy addled mind, right? I kind of think that when I look on Facebook, sometimes I see younger people sort their lives. I mean, you know everything, even where they are at certain times, and it kind of makes me think. Sometimes it almost seems like it's a convenient way. I'm not saying it's planned, but it seems like a sort of convenient way for young people to get comfortable with the idea that yeah, everything you do and that's always just out there on the internet anyway. So you know, it doesn't really matter because I voluntarily put it out. So it doesn't matter if they're looking at stuff. You know, it kind of almost seems like it would make them be more comfortable with that type of surveillance, or maybe that's just my crazy conspiracy theories.
Wasn't one of the Snowden leaks supposed to be, I heard that one of the Snowden leaks, you know, the two yet to be released, was a list of every employee of the federal government and like their home address too. Is that
really?
True? Yeah. Like I remember hearing that when the first things broke and I've never seen it.
Oh, we should get that. That way we could like look up our friends and see who's like secretly working for the government.
They all are.
I wanted the list that they were. He said he was going to release a list of everybody that's been spied on.
That's everybody.
That's what I thought, too. But he had some kind of, I guess, some kind of other list or maybe people they had actually queried on. But I thought we were going to get a list and we could all check it, see if we made it, you know, or keep trying or I don't know. So come on. Come on, Glenn Greenwald, Ed Snowden, give it to us. I know they listen to the show, so.
It's almost like, you know, since the 60s, like, you know, all those musicians and stuff, like, you know, like, years later, all their FBI files got released, you know, and they had files on, like, everybody that you can be thinking of, even, like, people, I think they had files on, like, Allen Ginsberg and all that kind of thing. It was mental.
But what, I mean, what if you got reached that stage of your career and you look back and you found out that they didn't have a file on you? Like
that means
like,
you weren't famous enough.
Oh, can you imagine? Like, you know, like, let's just say, you know, like Freedom Fiends goes on for like 50 years and finally, like, turns out they never, ever investigated, you know, like, oh.
If they never investigated anyone, it would just be a damn shame. We'd be like, what was the point then? Why was I running away from that white van that I kept seeing outside?
Yeah, all those shows about libertarian ISIS and it didn't even, you know, not even the Southern Poverty Law Center took an interest. Dang.
I know. Actually, that's funny though. It would be kind of disappointing. You'd be like, "Well, we tried, you know, but they just weren't interested." Yeah. But I suppose we should think it's a good thing, but I genuinely would be disappointed.
I think most libertarians would be disappointed. We sort of like picture ourselves on this like, you know, cutting edge, front line, you know, opposing the state, you know, in an epic confrontation. And most of the time they don't even know we're here. Like if they get around to sending you a tax bill, it's just like a random like moment of like, yeah, I guess we should try to get some money from that guy. And it works.
And that's the thing. I mean, it's even harder to stay away from the state here. Like, I've got a friend he's quite off-grid for someone that lives in a city. And, like, he won't even go to a doctor or a hospital because he doesn't want his details being put through the National Health Service system. Like, seriously, you know, like, that's how weird it is.
Well, that's really, you know, and it's sad, but it's the same here because your details are now, you know, becoming government records. What you tell your doctor. You know, and that could be very problematic, especially if somebody's having psychiatric issues or drug addiction issues or sexually transmitted diseases or just anything about them that they don't want part of a public record. They might just not get treated for. Right. That's bad. That's a bad recipe.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And that's the thing, but it is so hard to kind of be anonymous now, you know, and it's something that, you know, like people talk about, like, you know, I'm just going to get off the grid and that, like, it's that easy. It's like, it's pretty much nigh on impossible now. I mean, you feel like just from when you're born, it's like, oh, that bothers me.
It is a challenge, but, you know, that's why, you know, maybe we should, you know, be raising our kids in a way to like, look, start with your alias now. right? Start creating multiple aliases. So like, oh, here's your identity when you go to the doctor. Here's your identity when you go to the bank. Here's your Facebook identity. Here's, you know, like, and just completely confuse the whole system, like from the get go, like when they're like age one.
That's a good point. It kind of reminded me of something as well. That, like, do you know the Welsh drug smuggler Howard Marks, or Mr. Nice, the guy that used to smuggle drugs in the '70s for all those rock bands? Who I'm talking about.
You know, I'm not that familiar with him. No, tell me more.
But he smuggled a lot of marijuana for years, and he wrote books and stuff like that afterwards. He was actually jailed in the US. I can't remember how long he served. It wasn't that long. It cut down, though. But he used to smuggle drugs for big rock bands, and he always claimed that, you know, they never knew it was a deal he had with the tour managers. You know, he would stuff amplifiers full of, like, you know, pounds of marijuana and stuff. But I was watching a thing with him, and he was talking about how different even Britain was, even something like the 60s. He said he used to have multiple, you know, fake passports, fake driving licenses. He said in the 60s he walked into, I think it was somewhere in Wales, and he got a driver's license that read Elvis Presley, and he walked out of there with a real driver's license that said Elvis Presley, and that was him. And it sort of shows the difference, because nowadays, no way, man. It's really difficult. There's all sorts of chips and holograms and all sorts on every passport and driver's license you get now.
Right. But see, you know, the hard part, I think, is going from this monitored state to an anonymous state, right? Mm. So, but I think that's why we have to help the young people coming out. Like, never put your real name on anything. Like, just, it's all anonymous, especially when you're joining Libertarian ISIS. Do not give your real name on the application form.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 3rd Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan from August 7th through the 10th. There will be vending, discussions, presentations, all sorts of activities for children and adults, and bacon, lots of bacon. Round up your friends and family and get them registered today at miplc.org. That's miplc.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
This is the Freedom Fiends. I am Dan Green. I'm back with James Babb, and I assume that Michael is around somewhere. Him and Sangeeta are defying the laws of physics together, I assume. But I was talking a little before the break, James, about Howard Marks, the drug smuggler. And you're not too familiar with him, are you?
He sounds like a heroic free market pioneer.
Well, the thing, you know, he wouldn't have had to smuggle so many drugs if he, you know, the laws were different, but we know that. But he was quite an interesting guy. I mean, he was like Welsh, and he made the acquaintance of an IRA gunrunner called James McCann, and the two of them like would smuggle hash from, I think it was Afghanistan, you know, back to Britain and stuff like that. And bizarrely, he was at one point recruited to work for MI6. Because a friend of his that he went to university with was an MI6 agent. You know, it's like the sort of secret service here. Well, not the secret service, but you know what I mean.
Well, how much marijuana did MI6 require?
It wasn't even for that. They wanted information because of like his IRA connections, and he would swan all over the like the glove and stuff.
Oh, I thought maybe they were trying to score weed for like a big party, you know, at the Queen's house or something. I don't know how that works exactly.
But he was actually the weird thing as well. See, one of the interesting Howard Marks stories is that he was approached to sell $300,000 worth, like, of cannabis to the CIA. Like it was like to a CIA agent, and because he wanted to fund it. Yeah, it was someone who wanted to fund the Mujahideen. It was an agent who was looking to fund the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. And, you know, like, he was asked to sell to them, basically. I don't think it happened in the end. But it was a really weird one.
Hmm.
Yeah, like, he was involved with the mafia and all sorts, you know. But he's kind of viewed as a sort of cult figure and a bit of a hero here now. You know, because he does, like, speaking tours and stuff like that. He's written books. You know, like, one of his aliases, his famous one, was, you know, Mr. Nice, that he stole off someone in a pub, like, someone's identity. His name was something nice. And so, like, he's kind of adopted that moniker. But he is one of these kind of interesting sort of weird counterculture figures. I mean, you can, like, someone you can link with the mafia, the CIA, MI6, and the IRA, it's got to be quite interesting.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like he was going to all the best parties.
I know, it's weird, man. It's just one of those things. I remember, again, I saw another interview with him, and he said sometimes he walks down the street and people will come up to him and say, could you come up to my house for a second? I'm growing weed up there and I want you to have a look at it. And he'll, like, go up and he'll give his opinion on people's weed in their attics and stuff like that.
So he's a teaching hospital as well. I love it.
Yeah, basically, you know, I kind of love these sort of characters like that, you know. And again, like we were saying earlier, we were talking about surveillance and stuff, and it shows, like, half the stuff that he could have got away with in, you know, the 60s, 70s, you know, even the 80s, it just would be impossible now, you know. So it kind of shows how it's almost like a cyber clampdown, if you want to use that odd terminology.
But, you know, with his kind of connections, it probably wouldn't have mattered, right? Like, it just might mean he gets more calls for weed from more government people, like, because the NSA needs weed. And, this, you know, it's not just the CIA anymore, you know, it's like everybody's calling him. So the Pentagon needs weed, like, every, you know, the EPA needs weed, you know, the TSA, you know, they smoke a lot of weed, you know, but they probably get a chance to just steal enough from airline passengers.
You wonder really what happens to that, don't you?
No, I don't wonder.
Did you ever see a film called Super Troopers?
No.
It was a comedy, a US comedy about thing. It was about cops, and there's one point where, like, they're all in the evidence room and they're watching their confiscated German porn while smoking all the weed they confiscated before. And you can kind of wonder how often that happens.
Maybe all not exactly the time. Like that. Every time. I'm safe. I think it's safe to say every time they confiscate something, it's so they can make use of it themselves. Why else would they bother?
Yeah.
Just to be mean? Yeah. You know.
I mean, who could really stand by and watch all that weed incinerated for no reason? It would be inhuman.
Like, have you ever seen those, when they do those big public, like, after a big, like, marijuana bust, they do, like, a public burning where they have, like, this huge bonfire of, and they claim it's drugs burning, right?
Yeah.
What percentage of that stash do you think made it into the bonfire?
Oh, very little.
How many bales were like, okay, you know, put a bale in my trunk, your trunk, his trunk, we're good, you know?
But so you would, man. You totally would. I remember there's a drugs amnesty bin that exists in a certain music festival in Scotland, just in case you feel bad about the drugs you're taking at a music festival and want to give them to the police so they can use them.
You want to know? So, like, the police have requested free drugs. Please bring them to...
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
This is Grandmaster of Ceremonies, Captain Midnight, also known as MCMD and the Love Posse. Take it, Love Posse.
Worms.
That was a fascinating intro. I'm not sure what it means. I think we're in a band now.
Oh, we are.
I dig it.
Yeah.
I dig it. Hey, I got a question for you, Dan.
Yeah.
You know, around here, the past few weeks, the question of gay marriage has been topical. I guess the Supreme Court, the SCROTUS, just offered their opinion on the topic. The Supreme Court of the United States, evidently somebody thought they had their opinion mattered, and they decreed that it was okay for anybody to get married. And I thought, you know what I want to know from Dan is Gaelic marriage legal in Scotland?
Yes, absolutely. So is gay marriage, funnily enough, and it has been for quite a long time. You know, it's funny, see, ages and ages ago, I wrote an article called The Gay Marriage Distraction, and I basically just made the point that, you know, it was just a blog sort of post, but I made the point that, you know, who cares? Why would you care what the government thinks of your relationship? You know, that kind of thing. But now that's becoming a big deal. But the other thing I've noticed is, I'll like go on Facebook and I'll see loads of people I know who are Scottish who have now all of a sudden changed their profile pictures to the rainbow flag, right?
Okay.
They didn't do that when it became legal in Scotland ages ago. Like, it's already been legal in Scotland. It's only now that it's become legal in America. They're like, yay, pride. And you're like, well, you don't live in America.
Now it's trending on the internet, so yeah. It's safe.
That's what it's like. Honestly, like, all these people never said a word when it actually became legal here. And then all of a sudden it's legal in America. Yay, pride. You know, it's weird, man. But people do that here. They sort of like ape American trends. Do you know what I mean?
You know, I guess that internet culture is a really weird phenomenon. And, you know, and we're sort of the first generation that's sort of seeing how these things evolve and how something as simple as a rainbow over your profile pic can, you know, become a, you know, what starts as a political statement becomes trendy, spreads to countries that don't even need that, you know, so...
I know, it's odd, isn't it? It's like these sort of trends spread like wildfire through the internet and they sort of end up everywhere. And it's, I don't know, it's sort of weird, man. I know I'm sounding like some old guy going, these kids in there. But like, it's, I just notice it, like, it's, I kind of get, I've had to stay off Facebook for the last week or so, you know, minimal Facebook, because I just feel like everyone's posting the same thing sometimes and I'm sick of reading the same thing about the same argument. Do you know what I mean? It's just now I can I could go on Facebook and read a million articles about how the government should stay out of marriage, but I already know that.
Exactly. You know, but you know, what is the history of government and marriage over there? My understanding here is that the government got involved with marriage to begin with because they didn't want people marrying people of other races. They're like, whoa, ho, 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 black people marrying white people? Ho, ho, let's get some laws in here. And they started making, you know, you had to now go ask some government-y people for permission. What's the origin over there? Was the government ever involved over there?
See, I don't actually know. That's a really interesting question, because I don't actually know where it goes back to and how they got involved. You know, I mean, I'm married and I got married, but that's when I used to think it actually meant something. But here as well, you have sort of, I think it's, well, I don't know about the US, it's probably the same. You have sort of tax breaks for people who are married, and there's certain benefits people who are married can get that people who aren't married can't get. So they sort of almost make it into something like, you know, that's going to financially benefit you, which is a sort of weird thing to do. But it's interesting. I don't actually know what it goes back to in Scotland anyway, but it's interesting you say that. Did you see much about, I saw a couple of things, but I never read much of it. Something in Alabama, I think it is, about how, is there not something to do with lawmakers there are saying that, like, the government shouldn't be involved in marriage at all?
Well, I mean, that's obviously the correct position, but we don't need politicians to say that.
It's just nice that one of them realizes it.
Yeah, it's turns out that it's none of our business. Okay, I'm going away now. That's what they should say. And those people, that want to have relationships with anybody they want should just do so freely, and it's their own business. Now, that is easy for me to say, and I recognize this because I actually did get a government marriage license years ago. If I was doing it over again, I wouldn't do it, but I do have one. So it's a little bit hypocritical for me to tell somebody else, don't get one, because maybe there is a tax break. I don't know. I just haven't really approached the missus and said, hey, why don't we just tear up that legal document? She'd probably be okay with it, but...
Yeah, because that doesn't define it, that's just it's just a bit of paper, really, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, I wonder how much that means. I mean, like, I remember the thing with my mum, her thing was always like, she's a mad Catholic. Not in a bad way, it's just that she's quite... gung-ho about it, and for her the sort of legal bit doesn't matter as much. It's more the sort of in front of God sort of thing, that's sort of her perspective, but the legal bit makes it a bit more real,
there are important legal reasons, things like custody of children, or visitation rights in a hospital, or inheritance, things like that. But these things could obviously all be handled contractually, whatever these situations are, everybody could just make them up for themselves and write them down if necessary. But as long as the government is handing out favors to people that are married, it should be available to everyone, right? I think that's a pretty simple position for now, but I look forward to the day when people are like, of course I'm not going to the government for this ceremony. Why would you? Like, you could just record it in the blockchain or something like that instead. It's like, no government services requested. Thanks anyway.
I know what you mean. Like, yeah, it's a good point. I mean, it's funny how some people, for some reason, it makes it seem more real to them. But like, some people have suggested to me, oh, it's dying out amongst younger generations, but I'm not really seeing that at all. I'm seeing a lot of young people who are still getting married, in my experience being here. And it's a thing that it probably won't die out, obviously, for certain reasons, but I do wish people would realize that it doesn't make your relationship any more legitimate because you filled in a form somewhere and someone ticked it. It doesn't make anything... I don't know. It's weird as well. Like I said, I got married when I was sort of younger, and I really thought that meant something. I thought that would sort of legitimize your relationship in a way. But now, I don't think I would bother with it. Again, I don't really feel the need for it. I mean, you could have a party anyway, and you would actually save the money that you spent applying for the license and all that nonsense all the hoops you need to jump through. But as far as the gay marriage thing goes, someone suggested to me that it was secretly masterminded by divorce lawyers because now they're going to get twice the cases.
Oh, well, you know what? Why not? At least it's better than, you remember when they were fighting to have gay people in the military? I thought that was the worst. I was like, oh my God, like... this has become a civil rights issue where you're campaigning for the right to go kill people for the state. Like, really?
Yeah, that was I saw a lot about that. That was quite a big deal in America, wasn't it? I remember all that sort of thing. And here it was never really an issue. It never really came up, to be honest. It just... there's gay people in the military, even like, as far as I understand it, I don't know if they still do, but I know they did at one point. You had like Air Force floats and stuff here in the London Gay Pride Parade, so it was never really a big thing here, not so much as from what I saw from the coverage in the States, especially the don't ask, don't tell and all that kind of thing. Can you hear me, James? Well, it seems like I've lost James. I don't know who can still hear me, but, you know. Ah, well, that's fair enough then. I can just talk. I'm fine with that. I wrote this whole thing about this gay marriage thing years ago, and I don't see the need for it to be a big issue anymore. But the kind of thing that did bother me as well was this whole people arguing about what a word meant. That's all I could see on television, was people going, no, but the word marriage means one man and one woman and they're together forever. And then, you know, there's all this stuff going on, wars ramping up all over the world, but everyone was more focused on what the correct meaning of a word was. And I tried to point that out, but for some reason it's one of these bizarre emotional issues that people are, for some reason, just, they can't help themselves. They're just completely stuck on, you know. So that's my two cents about gay marriage. Since I'm doing the Freedom Fiend solo now, I've just decided I'm going to take over. This is all Dan, all the time. Let me Scottish it up. Because I have the theory that Michael and Sangeeta are just holograms. So I'm going to take over. If James has been droned, or if he's been seized by the government, which is possible because I'm not hearing from Michael or James, I think it might take a bit longer for them to get to Scotland, so maybe I've got some time to ramble on for a bit. Because if it comes to it, I mentioned in the first hour of the Monster Raving Loony Party, so if it comes to it, I'll just start reading their policies because they're hilarious, you know. That's just what we'll do. So unless anyone comes on, I'll just ramble for a bit for the next couple of minutes anyway, and we'll see if James is still alive and if he's not been seized by the government. And then if I don't come on in the next segment, or someone comes on suspiciously sounding a little bit like me, then you can probably assume that they've gotten some extradition treaty through and that GCHQ's goons have showed up at my door and they've dragged me off. So just in case... No, I'm kidding, I don't want to sound like a paranoid nutcase. Yeah, Nathan, the ninja squirrel, who is always out there listening, thinks that James has been droned as well. Nathan thinks that James has been droned by the Mujahideen for infringing on their copyright for the libertarian ISIS. So there's your theory. We'll see what we can do after the break. Otherwise, it will just be me if I'm still here. So join us. We don't know what's going to happen.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Squizcar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to The Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch, now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah. I like the idea of a hidden holster, but I just walk around with a gun in my hand.
Only one, really? And you say you're in Wyoming?
Well, I do things with my hands. I need one hand free to like run the internet and run the Freedom Fiends. So James got the Benz, and passed out in the bathysphere, coming back up to earth, to ground, and Dan filibustered quite well.
Yes.
Take
well
it,
done,
guys.
Dan.
Take it. Redemption in the third act.
Dan, why don't you do another 7 minutes solo?
I'll just ramble.
What I'm trying to do right now is figure out how to use Audacity, because I edit all the Fiends episodes with special secret techniques in a program called SoundForge, which costs a lot of money, and like it's actually hard to even make to get free. So everyone uses Audacity. Everyone knows Audacity. I don't really use it or know it, but what I'm trying to do is do my normal editing technique on Audacity so I can make a video for the Fiends, for internal Fiend use only. So like y'all can start editing your shows. So I'll just go to bed. I won't even have to be there. Between Fiend Phone and my secret ninja editing techniques, MK Lords told me she wants to start editing the episode she's on because she's up for an hour afterwards. And I'm
That way she can like take out all the parts with Michael W. Dean, like really condense it down.
No, because I listen to them all the next day. That would get kicked off the Fiends. Although you could do that for your own website, but, yeah.
Or splice in other hosts that weren't actually there. Like just make your own mix show.
I'm
like,
putting you on my list, James Babb. Later.
You're never allowed to edit them.
Editing's hard work. I think that's a good way to get out of that duty is to threaten some secret mischievous editing. It's a good way to not be handed that job.
I use Audacity, but it's the only program I know. You know, I think in school when I was actually, you know, so-called studying music, where they were trying to suck the fun out of music for us, we used a program. I think it was called Cubase. And it was one of these things that used to cost like 300 quid or something. But like, as far as I can tell, Audacity's, you know, it does everything you need it to do and it's free. It's brilliant.
It works pretty well too. I've been using it for years and I don't even think, you know, maybe I've updated it every once in a while, but the version I was using like 10 years ago is probably perfectly fine today.
Probably. I use it for everything. I use it for my own podcasts. I use it for music and stuff as well. Oh, that's something I was going to throw in there. Something that just reminded me. Since we are on LRN, I've been talking to a fellow here in the UK, an English chap, who's starting a thing called Radio Free UK. And he's trying to sort of make it like a sort of British liberty orientated sort of like a kind of online radio station.
I like it. Now, will the Queen allow that, though? I mean,
she'll just need to put up with it. I know some libertarians here, right?
Oh, my goodness. Is that what she sounds like? I don't even know. I have no idea. That's what I imagine she sounds like.
You hardly ever hear her talk, man. You usually just see her walking about waving at people. You know, you would think she was on mute if she didn't do the occasional speech, you know, at Christmas and that.
I saw some video of her where she was like lecturing poor people about the benefits that she's going to cut back or something. You know that one I'm talking about?
I'm not sure, actually.
She was addressing somebody, and all around her were all these people in these costumes. And this was like right out of the like Dark Ages or something. Like you got this queen and her crown, and everybody's got these pins all over their jackets. And I'm like, it was so creepy. I'm like, wow, they still do that. Whoa.
They do, man. It's ludicrous. I mean, they had a thing, it was one of her anniversaries, like a jubilee or something, you know, so long in power. And they did this big, it was a few years ago, it was a big thing on the Thames, you know, the river in London. And it was like hundreds of boats and barges and stuff. And you know what happened? It rained all day. I was pleased.
Well, the Queen probably gets a redo, right? She can just declare it another jubilee the next day if need be.
I think she has two birthdays. Like the real one and what's called the official birthday, as far as I know. Just as well I'm not English or I would think you were racially oppressing me, James.
It's been great doing a show with you, Dan. Our first one together. It's quite a pleasure.
Yes. I believe we're on next week as well.
Yeah, I think we've got quite a few coming up, so I'm looking forward to that.
One of your queen voice. I'm looking forward to that. You should do the intro in that voice.